All right. You can have a seat. If you're new today, we just want to say welcome. We are so glad you're here today. Hopefully you received a welcome card when you came in. If not, we have a site, mylcc.info, that has all that information and more. And also, if you're new, just to let you know, for several years now, we are a church that's been doing teaching and worship in Spanish and in English. Most Sundays, it's our teaching's in English, but today is one of those days that our teaching is going to be in Spanish and translated into English live today. So one of our own, Armando, is going to be teaching us along with Kevin today. We're excited about that. Is everybody having a good 4th? Yeah. Good 4th weekend? All right. Today, after the service, we're going to celebrate more. First Sunday lunch, we'll have hot dogs for everybody. So even if you didn't bring something, come. We're going to have a good time together today. All right, once a month, I take a couple minutes to share a little bit about LCC, about our vision, about who we are and where we're aiming together as a church. So this morning I want to talk about a topic, I think an important topic, especially in our culture today, and that's unity. But I want to talk about biblical unity. We're in the book of Acts as a church. We've been going through it, and Acts just paints a beautiful picture of unity, a community of believers just marked by deep unity together. In Acts 4:32, it says, all the believers were one in heart and in mind. It's a beautiful picture. But biblical unity doesn't mean we all agree on everything, right? Followers of Jesus won't agree on every preference, every opinion, and a lot of other secondary kind of issues. But we are called to be unified around Jesus Christ and the gospel. That is meant to be primary in our life. And I believe it's a testimony to God's Spirit that we can come here today, that He can enable us to remain deeply united even while we have different opinions and different preferences. So our unity is a powerful witness to the world. And I'm going to steal a little bit from Armando's message today because he has there's a lot to cover in his passage, so I'm going to take a little bit of it, but I want to read you this from Acts 15, verse 36. This is what it says. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. We call him John Mark. But Paul did not think it wise to take John Mark because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left and went another way. That's an interesting passage to read. And what's interesting about it is that Greek word for sharp disagreement can be understood as they were provoked in spirit with and towards each other. They were provoked in spirit. It's the same word, Greek word, we see in Acts 17, which I'm going to speak on next week. When Paul enters the pagan city of Athens and he sees the idols there, he has this emotional reaction. He's provoked in his spirit at the condition of the city, and he's moved to share the gospel with them. So as followers of Jesus, we can be provoked in our spirit, right? Sometimes for good, as we see in Acts 17, sometimes, maybe, not in the right direction. Sometimes, maybe, in anger. Now, we're not 100% sure who was right in that dispute there in Acts 15 where they were divided. It's possible that, Paul, the dispute was a secondary issue. That John Mark's past desertion of them, it rattled Paul's cage enough that he stubbornly refused to continue and go on. And they had to separate. If that's the case, biblical unity took a hit. Now, they reconciled later. We know that. Of course, it's also possible that John Mark joining them in this would hinder the gospel. In that case, Paul may have had to take that stand. But regardless how God worked through that disagreement, and he did, I mean, the gospel went out in new ways. It doesn't mean that it's the right thing, right? God uses sometimes the decisions we make, sometimes when we speak in anger, but that doesn't mean it's right, and it doesn't mean we should pursue that. And it's interesting that after that, Paul addresses divisions in the next city he goes to, in the next several cities, and the ones before. But he says this in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He says, I appeal to you, these are the brothers and sisters in Corinth here, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there may be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And he wasn't calling for identical opinions on every single issue. He was urging the church to reject that which divided them from their primary mission, Jesus Christ and the gospel. In Philippi, the same thing happens. Paul says this in Philippi to the church there. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. You see, biblical unity is important. And for us, the challenge is, what do we do when we are provoked in our spirit on secondary kinds of issues? Do we let it rise in us, and do we make it primary? Do we make it greater than the gospel? And that can happen. You think about it, it can happen in so many ways. We can have disagreements that way, right? Even this morning, in the styles of worship, or the songs that we sing, or in the teaching, who teaches, how long they go, whether we like what they say or not, right? It can happen in the balance of time between Spanish and English, right? Or in decisions that leadership makes. It can happen in relationships. Well, that person looked at me the wrong way this morning, right? Or that person seemed unkind to me. It can happen when somebody shares their political leanings and they don't coincide with yours, right? It can happen in when we serve. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we want to serve somewhere else, or we don't have what we need where we're serving, or we get scheduled at an inconvenient time, right? All those things are secondary matters. But when we elevate them, our unity suffers. And the enemy, he loves to turn those secondary things into primary things for us, to get us to focus and fixate on those things. But the Spirit keeps bringing us back to what is primary, Jesus and the gospel, because there's a way to hold our preferences, our opinions with open hands while holding tightly to Jesus and the gospel. And I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I thank you for the way you model that, the way you hold your hands open with those things, so many things, so many styles, opinions, preferences. You let the gospel and Jesus remain at the center of who we are. And I think we've continued to grow in being a church of very different people who are united in Christ. And I want to tell you, I think that's a strength. And it's hard work. Biblical unity is hard work. And it's grounded, and it should be grounded in love. This is what Paul writes in Colossians about the church. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect what? Unity. And again, I want to say it. I believe it's a testimony to the Holy Spirit that we can come together with different backgrounds, different opinions, even different languages, but we can agree on what is primary in Christ and the gospel. So if you're able to, I want to ask you to stand with me as I pray, and we're about to worship together, which is a great unifying thing for us to do, to make the gospel primary. But let me pray before we worship. God, may our love for one another and our unity continue to point people to the risen Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, help us to primarily be about the gospel first. Do your work in our hearts to transform us. And even now, God, as we worship, we want to give you all the glory together as one voice for who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good morning.
Buenos días.
How are you today? Are you kind of tighter because last night?
¿Cómo están hoy? ¿Cansados por la noche?
Was you doing the boom boom?
Estaban en el festejo.
Yes, my neighbor, I don't know, but or they have a lot of money, or they was spending all that they have last night with the fireworks.
Mis vecinos, no sé si tienen mucho dinero o gastaron todo lo que tuvieron anoche, tenían muchos cohetes.
I think that even my dog was praying last night for them to stop.
Creo que mi perro estaba orando que terminen.
My name is Armando, and I will be teaching in the, we will continue our series in the book of Acts this week.
Hola, yo me llamo Armando, y vamos a continuar nuestra serie del libro de Hechos esta semana.
And guess what? I am here with my friend Kevin.
Y adivinen qué, estoy aquí con mi amigo Kevin.
We are so grateful to be sharing the word with you today.
Estamos muy emocionados de compartir la palabra con
It's
ustedes hoy.
It's an honor and privilege just having this opportunity this morning.
Es nuestro honor y privilegio tener esta oportunidad esta mañana.
And we are so grateful for the patience that you have with us.
Y tenemos tantas gracias que darles a ustedes por la paciencia que tienen con nosotros.
I know when Dan was talking about people complaining, we know that you are not complaining about us.
Cuando el pastor decía que había gente con unas quejas, sé que no se quejan de nosotros, pero
It's so good walking life together with all of you as our church family.
Pero es muy bueno compartir y caminar juntos en la vida como familia de la iglesia.
Just sharing the great moment on life and the bad moment too. Just having someone to share life is great.
Compartiendo los buenos momentos de la vida y también los momentos malos. Es bueno compartir esos momentos con alguien.
And one of the greatest privileges that I have in my life is the opportunity to meet with some of you.
Uno de los privilegios más grandes que tengo en mi vida es el privilegio de conocer y platicar con algunos de ustedes.
And when we are having a meeting, most of the time when I am having a meeting with people, most of the time people come with some kind of question, trying to figure out something.
Y muchas veces cuando estoy teniendo una plática con alguien, se acercan con unas preguntas, es algo muy común.
Sometimes the question is about doctrinal question.
A veces son preguntas doctrinales.
They have a friend that is going to another church.
A lo mejor tienen un amigo que va a otra iglesia.
And they come saying, "What we believe about, let's say, the Trinity."
Y me preguntan, quizás, ¿qué es lo que nosotros creemos acerca de la Trinidad?
What denomination are we?
¿De qué a qué denominación pertenecemos?
And why we believe that?
¿Por qué creemos en esto?
Sometimes they come with biblical questions.
A veces son preguntas de la Biblia.
What mean the beast in the Revelation?
¿Cuál es el significado de la bestia en el Apocalipsis?
Now, if you are going to come with this kind of question, you send me a text with a heads up.
Si vienes con este tipo de preguntas, me puedes mandar un texto para avisarme.
Because it is so hard in the fly trying to figure out what you want to know in the moment.
Sí, porque vamos a irnos vueltas y vueltas tratando de decidir o lo que quieres saber en ese momento.
Sometimes people come with questions about my background. They want to know more about me.
A veces gente me pregunta acerca de mí y quieren saber más de mi historial.
Cuba, where is Cuba?
¿Dónde está Cuba?
What they do there?
¿Qué hacen en Cuba?
And I just explained that if you see the concept of hell in the Bible,
yo les explico que si ustedes conocen el concepto del infierno en la Biblia,
it's a dark place,
un lugar oscuro,
no food,
sin comida,
everything is bad,
todo está mal,
you are feeling bad all the time,
te sientes mal todo el tiempo,
and it's so hot,
mucho calor.
You can apply most of those concepts to Cuba too.
Puedes aplicar muchas de esas cosas a Cuba.
No, but 90% of the time, when people are coming asking questions,
pero el 90% del tiempo cuando gente me hace preguntas,
they want to know what God wants to do for a specific situation on their life.
Quieren saber qué es lo que Dios quiere que ellos hagan en una situación específica en su vida.
This is the greatest struggle that we have in our life, I think.
Yo pienso que es la batalla más grande que tenemos en nuestra vida.
What is the will of God for my life?
¿Qué es lo que Dios quiere para mi
What
vida?
I have to do?
¿Qué tengo que hacer?
What is coming next?
¿Qué viene, está por venir?
What decision I need to make?
¿Qué decisión tengo que tomar?
Do I still with my boyfriend or is time to let him go?
¿Permanezco con mi novio o ya es tiempo de terminar?
Do I keep in my work or I have to start updating my resume?
¿Continúo con mi trabajo o actualizo mi CV?
Me encantaría que hubiera un libro de la Biblia.
I would love for there to be a book in the Bible.
Que tuviera mi nombre.
That would have my name on it.
¿Se imaginan?
Could you imagine that?
En Armando, capítulo 36, versículo 186.
Armando, chapter 36, verse 186.
Dios te dice qué tipo de medias tienes que ponerte hoy.
God will tell you what type of socks you should wear today.
Dios te dice qué tipo de mensaje tienes que poner, tienes que decir hoy, qué la gente está esperando oír.
Where God would tell me, you need to preach on this topic. This is the topic that people won't need to listen to.
Armando, capítulo 187, te dice, agarra vacaciones porque no tienes que trabajar mañana.
Armando, chapter 126, might say, take a vacation. You don't have to work tomorrow.
Pero yo no tengo un libro con mi nombre.
But I do not have such a book.
Me gustaría que a lo mejor Dios tuviera un Facebook page.
I would love for God to have a Facebook.
O ChatGPT, God, direct line.
Or a direct line on ChatGPT to God.
ChatGPT is so nice.
ChatGPT is muy, muy bueno.
In the morning he asked me, how do you want me to call you today?
En la mañana me pregunta, ¿cómo es que quieres que planifique tu día?
Little flower is my mood in the morning.
El sentido, vamos a tener un sentido de muchos
flores.
And he's
agreeing with everything that I am saying.
Y está de acuerdo con todo lo que yo creo.
Yo quisiera que existiera una aplicación que funcionara de esa manera.
I would love for there to be such an app.
Pero la realidad es que la vida no funciona así.
But the truth is, their life does
y
not work that way.
Y todos nosotros tenemos momentos que queremos que Dios se revele y nos diga qué es lo que tenemos que hacer.
And all of us want moments where God reveals himself to us and tells us what exactly what we should do.
Por eso, mientras continuamos nuestra serie en el libro de Hechos, quisiera que trabajáramos con esta pregunta.
As we continue in this series in Acts, I want us to focus on this question.
¿Qué hacer cuando yo no sé qué hacer?
What do you do when you don't know what to do?
¿Qué hacer cuando yo no sé qué hacer?
What do you do when you don't know what to do?
Y vamos a ir directamente al texto. Hoy vamos a estar trabajando en el capítulo 17 y vamos a leer, voy a comenzar leyendo en el versículo 6. Atravesaron la región de Frigia y Galacia, ya que el Espíritu Santo había impedido que predicaran la palabra en la provincia de Asia. Cuando llegaron cerca de Misia, intentaron pasar a Bitinia, pero el Espíritu de Jesús no se lo permitió.
So we'll continue in chapter 16 and we'll begin reading in verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to.
Antes de comentar el texto, vamos a ver en dónde es que Pablo está en su vida.
Before we take a look deeper dive into this text, let's see where Paul is in his life.
En el capítulo 9, Pablo aparece por primera vez y dice que tiene su experiencia de conversión y transformación.
In chapter 9, we see this character Saul come in for the first time and he talks about his process of conversion.
Capítulo del 13 al 15 comienza a describirnos el primer viaje misionero que Pablo tiene con Bernabé.
In chapters 13 through 15, talks about Paul's first missionary journey with Barnabas.
Y aunque el viaje tiene altas y bajas, de manera general, el viaje fue un viaje exitoso.
And although there was highs and lows on that trip, overall, it was a successful trip.
Dice que las personas estaban conociendo el mensaje del evangelio.
It says that people were getting to know and believing in the gospel.
En el capítulo 15, ellos terminan su primer viaje misionero en Jerusalén, y allí en Jerusalén,
they finish at the end of chapter 15 their first missionary journey and they finish in Jerusalem.
Los apóstoles se reúnen en Jerusalén y comienzan a debatir si la circuncisión era algo que era imprescindible para la salvación.
So the apostles get together in Jerusalem and they're debating this topic, whether circumcision is still required for the Gentiles, for new converts.
Y llegan a la conclusión que no era necesario, que solamente la obra de Jesucristo en la cruz del Calvario era suficiente.
And they concluded that it was not necessary, that only Jesus' work on the cross was sufficient.
Termina el capítulo 15 y Pablo y Bernabé, como el pastor Dan nos estaba diciendo, dice que entran en un acto violento entre ellos, una desavenencia entre ellos.
And we see at the end of chapter 15, as the pastor was saying earlier today, there is a scene where there's strife between these two people. There might be even some violence between these people.
Y Pablo, con un espíritu de no poder perdonar lo que Juan Marcos le había hecho, le dice, si Juan Marcos va, yo no voy con ustedes.
So Paul, not being able to forgive what John Mark had done to them earlier in the trip, he tells Barnabas, I'm not able to go along with you if Mark comes along.
Y ahí comienza nuestro capítulo 16. Deciden separarse ellos, ir en caminos separados.
So this is where we come into chapter 16. There are two separate journeys, two different groups.
Y Pablo se encuentra en Listra y encuentra un joven llamado Timoteo.
And Paul in Lystra finds a young man named Timothy.
Este Timoteo tenía una madre que era judía y tenía un papá que era griego.
This Timothy had a mother who was Jewish and a father who was a Gentile.
La iglesia hasta ese momento estaba creciendo una iglesia multicultural.
Up to this point, the church was growing, yeah, multiculturally.
Una iglesia que era de gentiles y una iglesia que era de judíos.
It was a church of Greeks and Jews.
Y en Timoteo, Pablo encuentra la personificación de la identidad de la iglesia a la manera que tenía que crecer en ese momento.
And in Timothy, Paul finds the identity of the church in the way it should be growing today and in this moment.
Y por eso sale con su sale en el segundo viaje con Timoteo como su discípulo o su aprendiz.
So he sets off on this second missionary journey, taking Timothy along with him as his apprentice.
Y cuando ellos salen, dice que el Señor los bendijo en todo lo que hacían.
And when they went out, it says that the Lord blessed them in all they did.
Y el versículo 5 repite algo que ya habíamos visto en capítulos anteriores del libro de Hechos.
And verse 5 repeats another idea that we've already seen previously in Acts.
Dice que el Señor añadía a la iglesia todos los días creyentes.
It says that the churches were strengthened day by day, and the Lord added more to the church.
Todos los días había salvación.
Every day there was salvation.
Todos los días había un bautismo.
Every day there was a baptism.
Todos los días tenían que buscar condiciones para reunir a nuevas personas.
Every day they were looking for new places to find people.
Un milagro seguía sucediendo.
One miracle after another.
Y nos encontramos ahora en el capítulo 6, Pablo queriendo regresar una vez más a Asia.
And we find ourselves here in verse 6, Paul wanting to go to Asia.
Y el Espíritu Santo le dice, no.
But the Holy Spirit tells him, no.
Cuando llegaron cerca de Misia, intentaron pasar a Bitinia, pero el Espíritu Santo le dice una vez más, no.
It says, when they tried, got to the border of Mysia and they tried to enter Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus told them, no.
Hasta este momento, el Espíritu Santo había empoderado a la iglesia.
Up to this point, the Holy Spirit had empowered the church.
El Espíritu Santo había ayudado a escoger a los discípulos para que fueran a diferentes regiones.
The Holy Spirit had helped to handpick the apostles or the disciples to go out to different cities.
El Espíritu Santo había ayudado a Pedro para que él pudiera predicar el evangelio con poder.
The Holy Spirit had helped Peter preach the gospel with power and authority.
Pero ahora encontramos una nueva función que tiene el Espíritu Santo para la iglesia.
But now we have a new function that the Holy Spirit has for the church.
Y van a Turquía.
They go to Turkey.
Y el Espíritu Santo le dice.
And God tells them, this Holy Spirit tells them.
No.
No.
Se mueven a otra región y el Espíritu Santo le dice.
They move to another region and this Holy Spirit tells them.
No.
No.
La nueva función del Espíritu Santo no solamente les daba poder, sino que ahora los estaba ayudando a discernir cuál era la voluntad de Dios para su vida.
The Holy Spirit now was not only empowering the disciples to preach the gospel, it was giving them the power of discernment to decide or to see what God wanted them to do.
Es el Espíritu Santo quien los guiaba a donde tenían que ir.
It was the Holy Spirit that was guiding them where they had to go.
Es el Espíritu Santo quien abría puertas y quien cerraba puertas para ellos.
It was the Holy Spirit that opened doors and shut doors for them.
Es el Espíritu Santo quien decide cuál es el próximo paso para tu vida.
It was him, the Holy Spirit. It is him who decides what is the next step for your life.
Y lo más importante es que para poder escuchar del Espíritu Santo, de alguna manera tú tienes que estar conectado con el Espíritu Santo.
And the thing is that in order to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit, to hear anything from the Holy Spirit, you need to be connected to the Spirit.
El Espíritu Santo no le habla a personas que no hablan con él.
God, the Holy Spirit does not speak to people who do not speak to him.
El Espíritu Santo no se comunica con gente que no se comunican con él.
The Holy Spirit doesn't communicate to people that don't communicate to him.
Y por eso quisiera hablar primero, como primer punto, es la comunicación que Pablo tenía directo con Dios o con el Espíritu.
So as the first point, I'm going to make us notice the relationship that Paul had with the Holy Spirit.
Pablo, Pablo no se hizo espiritual cuando tenía un problema.
Paul didn't become spiritual when he had a crisis.
Y muchas veces nosotros tratamos al espíritu como el 911.
And we oftentimes treat the Holy Spirit like it's 911, like the phone number.
911.
911. Pardon me.
En tiempo de crisis.
In a time of crisis.
Ay, espíritu de Dios, ayúdame.
Holy Spirit, help me.
Cuando estás en el hueco, ay, ayúdame a salir de esto.
When you're in a hole, God, help me get out of this hole.
Pablo no era alguien que vivía en crisis. Pablo era alguien que estaba comunicándose todo el tiempo con el Espíritu Santo.
Paul was not a person that was always in crisis. Paul was a person that was always in communion with the Holy Spirit.
Y vamos a ver que el mismo Lucas nos dice en el versículo 16.
And we're going to see here what Luke writes in verse 16.
Dice que una vez cuando íbamos al lugar de oración, nos salió al encuentro una joven esclava que tenía un espíritu de adivinación.
Read verse 16. Once we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had the spirit by which she predicted the future.
Dice que en la mañana, ellos se levantaron y lo primero que hicieron, ¿qué fue? Iban al lugar de oración.
Says they would wake up in the morning and the first thing they would do was go to the place of prayer.
Todos los días ellos iban al lugar de oración.
Every day they would go to the place of prayer.
Todos los días estaban conectándose con Dios.
Every day they were in communion with God.
Todos los días estaban abiding in the presence of God.
Every day they were habitando en el Espíritu de Dios, morando ahí con Dios.
Buscando la dirección de Dios.
Seeking God's direction.
Porque el Espíritu Santo no es una herramienta que nosotros podemos usar cuando nosotros querramos.
Because the Holy Spirit is not just a tool for us to pick up and use whenever we want to.
Outulus, this is the house of Mao. I'm sorry, I have a 4 years boy.
Tengo un hijo de 4 años y son sus herramientas.
Mickey Mouse used the, when he have a crisis, he say, oh, turos.
Oh, sí. Que Mickey llama a sus turos cuando tiene un problema.
Y nosotros tratamos al Espíritu Santo como turos.
Lo tratamos como un turo.
Espíritu Santo, ahora tenemos una mouse herramienta que podemos usar en tiempo de crisis.
Holy Spirit, now I have a little mousey tool to use when I have a problem.
Oh, turos. Y el Espíritu Santo viene a nosotros.
Turos, and the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon us.
Y la realidad es que Pablo no estaba usando el Espíritu Santo de esa manera.
But the truth is that Paul was not using the Holy Spirit in this way.
Sino que todos los días, todo el tiempo, él estaba conectado con Dios.
But every day and at all times, he was in connection with God.
Por eso, ¿qué hacer cuando yo no sé qué hacer?
So what do I do when I don't know what to do?
Lo primero es que nosotros tenemos que vivir en oración.
The first thing is that you need to be living in prayer.
Que nosotros tenemos que vivir conectado a Dios.
You need to live connected to God.
Porque él no es una herramienta, él es un Señor.
Because he is not a tool, he is Lord.
Él es el espíritu de Jesús, el que murió en la cruz y el que ahora reina en el cielo. Ese es el que está dentro de nosotros.
He is the Lord who descended from heaven and died on the cross and is now seated on the right hand of God on the throne. That is who we serve.
Hay un rey dentro de nosotros.
There is a king within us.
Y nosotros tenemos que tratarlo como tal, entendiendo que no es mi voluntad.
And we need to treat our king as such. That it, notice that it is not our will.
Sino tu voluntad, Señor, en lo que quiera que yo esté haciendo.
But your will, Lord, in anything that I do.
Tu voluntad, no mi voluntad.
Your will, not mine.
Por eso estar conectado con Dios es esta idea de vivir entregado en sacrificio, esperando, escuchando la voz. Dios, ¿qué tú quieres que yo haga?
So living in connection with God is giving yourself up and presenting yourself before the Lord and saying, God, what is it you want me to do?
Y la cuestión es que a veces nosotros mente no es que oramos, porque a veces oramos todos los días.
And the problem isn't prayer oftentimes. Often sometimes we pray every day.
Es la manera en la que nosotros oramos.
But it may be the way in which you pray.
Si Jesús,
if Jesus
viniera hoy,
were to come today,
y te dijera, voy a contestar todas las oraciones que tú tuviste la semana pasada.
And he would tell you, I will respond and answer every prayer you had this previous week.
Todas son sí.
Everything is yes.
Lo que pediste, sí.
Everything you asked for, you're gonna get it.
¿De qué manera cambiaría la realidad alrededor tuyo?
In what way would your reality change?
¿De qué manera habría menos injusticias en el mundo?
In what way would there be less injustices in the world?
¿De qué manera habría menos niños en las calles pidiendo comida?
In what way would there be less children on the streets asking for food?
¿De qué manera el mundo conocería más el evangelio?
In what way would the world know the gospel better?
¿De qué manera tu vecino estaría hoy sentado aquí?
In what way would your neighbor be sitting here right next to you?
Pero la realidad, y esta es mi realidad, no sé la de ustedes.
Well, this is the reality, and this is my reality. I don't know about you guys.
Es que la mayoría de las veces yo estoy haciendo oraciones de mantenimiento.
Is that I'm often doing prayers of maintenance.
Y si Jesús dijera que sí a todas mis oraciones,
and if God were to say yes to all my prayers,
mi comida estaría bendecida.
My food would be blessed.
Yo estaría bendecido.
I would be blessed.
Mis hijos estarían bendecidos.
My children would be blessed.
Aunque yo no sepa lo que eso significa.
Even if I wouldn't know what that meant.
Y a veces tener una vida de oración es entender que tú estás orándole al ser todopoderoso.
Sometimes in prayer we have to realize that you are talking to the almighty being.
Aquel que todo lo puede.
The person who can do anything.
Y la historia de la Biblia es la historia de hombres y mujeres comunes que creyeron en un Dios sobrenatural.
And the story of the Bible is men and women, common people that believed in a supernatural God.
Personas que se pusieron en la presencia de Dios y creyeron que Dios podía hacer lo imposible.
People who prostrated themselves before God and believed that God can do the impossible.
Dios de lo imposible, te adoramos.
God of the impossible, we praise you.
Dios de lo imposible, yo no sé cómo, pero tú puedes hacerlo.
God of the impossible, I don't know how you can do it, but you will do it.
Yo habito en tu presencia, pero yo creo que tú tienes un llamado mucho más grande para mi vida.
I will dwell in your presence, but I believe that you have a much higher calling for my life.
Y después que yo tuve que responder esa pregunta para mí,
and after I responded this question myself,
como yo no soy tan disciplinado,
because I sometimes am not that disciplined,
yo creé esto, que a lo mejor no están viendo todos los detalles ahí, pero yo creé un plan de oración semanal, y es la manera que a mí me funciona.
I created this weekly rhythm of prayer, and you might not be able to see all the details, but it's there, planner.
El lunes yo oro por provisión, oro por mi familia, oro por cosas que normalmente no oraría.
On Monday, I'll pray for providence, I'll pray for dependence on God, things that I would normally not pray for.
El martes estoy orando por los niños. Mi familia hace poco fue a México a visitar un orfanato y cuando llegaron eran niños que habían sido maltratados. El martes es el día que yo estoy orando por las personas en México, por las personas desamparadas, porque Dios puede hacer algo a través de ellos.
On Tuesday, I may pray for my children, or I might think back to when my kids were in Mexico a few months ago, serving in an orphanage with children, and I might pray for all these children that don't have parents, for the lost, or for people that need God.
Y así toda la semana, de alguna manera, yo tengo que confiar que el Dios sobrenatural puede intervenir.
So in this manner, I may pray every day of the week, knowing that the supernatural God is in my favor, is for me.
Y no solo estoy conectado con Dios,
and I'm not just connected with God,
sino que también estoy alineado con Dios.
But I might also be aligned with God.
Por eso la oración es el prerequisito para el discernimiento.
So that is why prayer is a prerequisite for discernment.
Ahora, antes que nos movamos al próximo punto, vamos a leer el versículo 8.
So before we move on to the next point, we're going to read verse 8.
Entonces, pasando de largo por Misia, bajaron a Troas.
So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas.
La mayoría de nosotros, vean lo que hace Pablo. Ellos van a ir a una región y les dicen no.
Notice what Paul does. They were going to approach a region and the Spirit told them no.
Dice no. Vamos a ir a otra región. Y el Espíritu dice no.
They might say, okay, we're going to go move on to this other region. And the Spirit says no.
La mayoría de nosotros cuando llegamos a este punto,
many of us, the majority of us, when we would get to this point,
este es el punto de frustración de nosotros.
This might be our frustration point.
Este es el punto en que empezamos a pelear con Dios.
This is the point where we start wrestling with God.
Y tenemos que entender que Pablo no estaba decidiendo entre una cosa buena y una cosa mala.
We have to understand that Paul was not deciding between a good thing and a bad thing.
Pablo no estaba diciendo, voy a agarrar el trabajo el domingo o voy a ir a la iglesia.
Paul was saying, well, I will either go work on Sunday or I will go to church.
Pablo no estaba diciendo, voy a ir al bar a tomarme dos tequilas o el sábado en la noche o voy a quedarme en la casa con mi familia.
Paul wasn't saying, should I go to the bar this Saturday evening and have two tequila shots or should I stay at home with my family?
Esa no era la crisis que Pablo estaba enfrentando, por eso no puedes aplicarlo esto como una ecuación.
That is not the crisis that Paul was being faced with. So you can't apply an equation simply.
Pablo estaba, había entendido la voluntad de Dios.
Paul had understood God's will.
Y la voluntad de Dios era que él fuera y hiciera discípulos a todas las naciones.
And God's will was that he would go and make disciples of all nations.
Por eso Pablo está escogiendo entre una cosa buena y otra buena.
So Paul is choosing between one good thing and another good thing.
¿Qué hacer cuando tienes dos cosas buenas delante de ti?
What do you do when you have two good choices?
¿Ah? ¿Cómo respondes?
Two good options. How do you respond?
Y Pablo, entonces, ya está orando.
So here Paul is praying.
Pero ahora también Pablo, de cierta manera, no se queda estancado esperando que Dios haga algo.
But we also see that Paul doesn't get stuck waiting for God to do something in his life.
Y este es nuestro punto crítico, que empezamos a orar y nos quedamos en una esquina diciendo, Dios nunca hace lo que yo quiero.
This is a critical point that often happens to us. We pray and stay in this corner. We pray and then we stay in this corner and say, God never does what I want.
Ya si Dios no me dejó ir aquí para ir a predicar el evangelio y no me dejó ir acá para ir a predicar el evangelio, yo hice mi parte.
If God didn't let me preach the gospel in this region, and God didn't let me preach the gospel in this region, well, I already did my part.
Así que me voy a quedar sentado en mi casa.
So I'm going to lay back at home.
A ver hasta que Dios me responda a la manera que yo quiero que me responda.
And wait for God to respond to me in the way that I want to be responded to.
Y muchas veces cuando estamos sin trabajo, a veces nuestra reacción es, vamos a ver, Dios va a proveer.
And oftentimes when we're without a job, we might say, I'm going to see what God will provide.
Pero Pablo no está haciendo eso. Le cierran una puerta.
But Paul doesn't do that. One door gets shut.
Y él sigue avanzando hacia la próxima.
He moves on to the next door.
Y dice, y le cierran otra puerta.
And that door gets shut.
Y él sigue avanzando a la próxima.
And he moves on to the next door.
Por eso nuestro punto dos, cómo saber qué hacer cuando no sé qué hacer.
So our second point that we want to make, what do I do when I don't know what to do?
No solamente ores.
Don't just pray.
Sino que también sigue dando pasos.
Also keep taking steps.
Confía que a través de esos pasos Dios te puede guiar.
Trust that God will guide you as you take these steps.
Sigue obedeciendo a Dios en lo que ya Él ha revelado.
Keep obeying God in what He has already revealed to you.
Y ya Dios te ha revelado su voluntad en la Escritura.
God has already explained His will in His Word.
Por eso nosotros no estamos orando por la voluntad de Dios. Nosotros estamos orando por la guianza de Dios en cómo llevar a cabo la voluntad de Dios.
So oftentimes we're not praying for the will of God. We're praying for guidance of God and being able to bring about His will.
No dejes lo que tú no conoces que te impida moverte a lo que ya tú sí conoces.
Don't let what you don't know stop you from fulfilling what you already know.
Y yo tengo un amigo que dice que todos nosotros somos un target para el enemigo.
I have a friend who says that we are all targets for the enemy.
Pero es mucho más fácil darle a un target que está estático a darle a un target que está en movimiento.
But it is much easier to shoot an arrow through a target that is still than a target that is moving.
Por eso Pablo entiende esto y dice, yo me sigo moviendo, no es Bitinia, sigo caminando.
So Paul understands it and he keeps taking steps. Not in Bithynia, well, I'm going to keep moving on to the next town.
No es Asia, sigo caminando.
It's not in Asia, I'm going to keep walking.
No es aquí, sigo caminando.
It's not here, I'm going to keep walking.
Y lo peor que nos puede pasar es que nos detengamos y no llevemos a cabo la misión que Dios tiene para nosotros.
One of the worst things that could happen to us is that we stop halfway along the way and we don't accomplish what God wants to accomplish in our lives.
Id y hacer discípulos a todas las naciones.
Go and make disciples of all nations.
Bautizándolos en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yo no necesito revelación del Espíritu para eso.
I don't need revelation from the Spirit
ya
for
la Biblia
this.
Lo dice.
The Bible already tells me this.
Ama a tu prójimo como a ti mismo.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yo no necesito revelación para eso.
I don't need revelation for
ya
this.
Ya la Biblia lo dice.
The Bible clearly tells me.
Dale al necesitado.
Give to the needy.
Visita los presos.
Visit the people
levanta
in jail. Lift up the person that's
ayuda
fallen.
A las viudas.
Help the widows.
Ahí yo no tengo que buscar revelación porque ya la Biblia me ha revelado la voluntad de Dios.
Here I don't need to ask for revelation from God because the Bible has already revealed it to me.
Ahora, pero qué viudas.
But now, what widows?
Pero qué presos.
What people in jail?
¿Qué prisión se me abre para yo ir a servir?
What prison is opening their doors for me to go and serve?
¿Qué comunidad está abierta que yo puedo ir a servir? ¿A dónde Dios me está llamando específicamente a cumplir esto?
What community is right for me to go and do the work that God has prepared for me to do?
El evangelio no es un llamado a ser pasivo esperando que la vida pase.
The gospel is not a calling to be lazy and wait for God life to pass on by.
El evangelio es un llamado a vivir agresivamente la realidad que Dios ha puesto en nuestros corazones.
The gospel is a call to live aggressively the path that God wants us to take in our lives.
No me detengo.
I will not stop.
Y fíjense, no confundamos el mensaje de la semana pasada con el de esta semana.
Now listen, let's not confuse last week's message with this week's message.
Porque la salvación es gratis.
Because salvation is free.
¿Cuánto tienes que pagar por la salvación?
How much do you have to pay for salvation?
Nada, cero.
Nothing, zero.
Pero la santificación tiene un precio.
But sanctification has a price.
Seguir a Jesús tiene un precio.
Following Jesus has a price.
Por eso es que Jesús dice, toma tu cruz y sígueme.
So that is why Jesus says, take your cross and follow me.
¿Qué te va a costar seguir a Jesús?
How much will it cost you to follow Jesus?
Te va a costar todo.
It will cost you everything.
Te va a costar la vida.
It will cost you your life.
Te va a costar tu familia.
It will cost you your family.
Te va a costar tu 401k.
It will cost you your 401k.
Te va a costar todo.
It will cost you everything.
Sigue tomando pasos en pos de la misión que Dios te ha llamado a hacer.
Keep taking steps on the path that God has called you to.
Ahora, vamos a ver cómo las cosas empiezan a aclarar para Pablo.
So now we're going to see how things start to clear up a bit for Paul.
Dice el versículo 9, durante la noche Pablo tuvo una visión en la que un hombre de Macedonia, puesto de pie, rogaba, pasa a Macedonia y ayúdanos. Después de que Pablo tuvo la visión, enseguida nos preparamos para partir hacia Macedonia, convencidos de que Dios nos había llamado a anunciar las buenas noticias a los macedonios.
Acts 16:9-10 says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And I'm
going
to ask the worship group to join us up front.
Dios dice, el Espíritu Santo les dice no.
The Holy Spirit told them no earlier.
Pero ahora dice que ellos disciernen y concluyen, según la palabra que está ahí dice, ellos concluyen que tenían que ir a Macedonia.
So now it says here that they discerned and concluded that they had to go to Macedonia now.
No es que el Espíritu Santo le dijo que sí.
It's not that the Holy Spirit told them yes.
Ellos tienen una visión, Pablo tiene un sueño.
They had a mission and Paul had a dream.
Y ve un hombre macedonio diciéndole, vengan a donde nosotros estamos.
And he sees a man in Macedonia calling out for him, come and see us.
Y él concluye que el Espíritu Santo tal vez lo estaba llamando ahí.
And he concludes that the Holy Spirit might be calling him to Macedonia.
Entonces lo que él hace es que comienza a caminar en pos a donde que él cree que el Espíritu Santo lo estaba llamando.
So he sets off on his journey and starts taking steps to where he believes the Spirit is taking him.
Y Dios no cierra la puerta.
And God doesn't shut the door.
Y ven que el versículo 10 cambia porque ahora dice que nosotros, por primera vez, Lucas se une al viaje misionero de Pablo.
And you notice also in verse 10 where it says that God had called us to approach the gospel to them, to preach the gospel to them. So Luke is now taking part in this missionary work.
Y lo tercero, ¿qué hacer cuando no sé qué hacer? Confía en las puertas cerradas.
So the third thing to do when I don't know what to do is to trust closed doors.
Muchas veces la manera en la que Dios guía a su iglesia es a través de las puertas cerradas.
Oftentimes the way that God leads his people is through closed doors.
Dice en Apocalipsis capítulo 3, dice, soy yo quien abre puertas que nadie puede cerrar y soy yo quien cierro puertas que nadie puede abrir.
And it is in Revelation where God says that it is I who can open doors and nobody else can open, and it is I who can shut doors and nobody else can shut.
Y yo sé que estar en la posición cuando una puerta se cierra,
and I know that being in the position where a door is shut in your face,
es lo más difícil que nos puede pasar.
It is one of the hardest things that can happen to us.
Cuando estás buscando y se empiezan a cerrar puertas.
When you're seeking, you're taking steps and doors are shutting.
Cuando tú sabes que no estás haciendo nada malo, pero las puertas se siguen cerrando.
When you know you're not doing anything wrong, but still the doors are being shut.
Y muchos te dicen, para este tiempo ya tú tendrías que estar casado.
Somebody may tell you, well, by this age, you should already be married.
Para este tiempo, tú deberías estar haciendo seis cifras.
Seis cifras, but...
En el trabajo, salario.
Okay, yeah, so by this age, you should already be making six figures.
Y tú estás haciendo cuatro.
You're making four.
Para este tiempo, ya tú deberías estar bien.
By this time, you should be well off.
Y las puertas se siguen cerrando para ti.
And the doors keep shutting for you.
Y el dolor y la frustración que todos sentimos en este tiempo es difícil.
And in the pain and suffering we all feel in this moment, it is difficult.
Pero si lo vemos de esta manera, tal vez podríamos pensar que Dios es soberano.
But if we look at it this way, we might believe that God is sovereign.
Y que él sigue teniendo un plan.
And that he still has a plan.
Y que su plan a lo mejor no ha llegado.
And that his plan maybe has still not been accomplished.
Así que cuando vemos una puerta cerrada, a lo mejor podemos cambiar la pregunta.
So when we see a shut door, maybe we can change the question.
En lugar de decir, ¿por qué Dios?
Instead of saying, why God?
Tal vez pudiéramos decir, Dios, ¿a dónde me estás llevando?
Ask God, where are you taking me now?
Dios, ¿a quién quieres que conozca en este camino?
God, who do you want me to meet along the way?
Y termino con esto, que yo sé que me están mirando desde aquí atrás.
And I want to wrap up with this because I know I'm getting some stares.
We can finish. You can finish with me. We can sing together.
Podemos cantar juntos. A mí me encanta cantar el último canto.
Si Dios no hubiera cerrado esa puerta.
If God would have not shut that door.
Lidia no hubiera conocido el evangelio.
Lydia would not have known the gospel.
Si Dios no hubiera cerrado esas puertas, el carcelero de Filipo, él y su familia no hubieran sido salvados.
If God would not have shut the doors, the jailkeeper in Philippi and his family would not be saved.
Si Dios no hubiera cerrado esa puerta, la iglesia de Filipos no hubiera surgido, que esta iglesia fue la que empezó a apoyar a Pablo financieramente en todos sus viajes después.
If God had not shut the doors, then the church in Philippi would not have grown and been able to support Paul as he went along on his missionary trips.
Si Dios no hubiera cerrado esta puerta, nosotros no hubiéramos tenido la primera y la segunda carta a Timoteo.
If Paul would not have shut these doors, we would not have the first and second letter to Timothy.
Si Dios no hubiera cerrado esta puerta, el evangelio no hubiera llegado a Europa.
If God would not have shut these doors, the gospel would not have reached Europe.
Y se cree que porque el evangelio llegó a Europa, hoy nosotros tenemos el evangelio.
And it is believed because the gospel reached Europe, today we know the gospel.
Lo que tú ves como una puerta cerrada, Dios lo está viendo como nuevas oportunidades.
What you see as a shut door, God sees as new opportunities.
Lo que tú ves como puerta cerrada, Dios lo está viendo como hay más para hacer, hay más personas para salvar.
What you see as a shut door, God sees as more work to do, more people to save.
Por eso la puerta cerrada no es mi enemigo, sino que la puerta cerrada es la oportunidad que Dios me está trayendo para bendecir a otros.
So a closed door is not my enemy. A closed door is an opportunity that God has given me to bless others.
Gracias Dios por las puertas cerradas.
Thank you God for the closed
Gracias,
doors.
Gracias Dios por tu poder.
Thank you God for your power.
Gracias porque cuando yo no sé qué hacer, te tengo y puedo orar.
Thank you, God, because when I don't know what to do, I have you and I can pray to you.
Gracias porque yo sigo tomando pasos aunque no veo qué es lo que hay delante.
Thank you, God, because I will keep taking steps even if I don't know where I'm going to
Gracias
go.
Gracias porque todo parece cerrado, pero yo sé que hay una puerta que tú tienes abierta para mí.
Thank you, God, because there may be look like all the doors are shut, but I know that you have a door that is going to be open for me.
Y en el momento que tú la abras, la bendición de Dios se va a ver.
And in the moment that you open it, I will see the blessing of God.
Y alguien va a ser salvado.
And somebody else will be saved.
Y alguien va a ser sanado.
And somebody will be healed.
Y alguien va a ser restaurado.
And somebody will be restored.
Y un matrimonio va a ser cambiado.
A marriage will be changed.
Y un hijo va a regresar a casa.
A child will return home.
Porque el poder de Dios se manifiesta en su iglesia.
Because the power of God manifests himself in the church.
Nos ponemos en pie y oramos todos juntos.
If we're able to maybe get on
Gracias,
and
Dios.
Stand up and pray together. Thank you, God.
Gracias.
Thank you.
If you want, you say, thank you, God.
Pueden decir, gracias, Dios.
You might have been seeing this in the wrong way.
Puede ser que lo has visto de otra manera diferente.
And my hope today is that God has revealed to you that he has been closing doors for you.
Mi esperanza de hoy es que tú te des cuenta de que Dios ha cerrado esas puertas para ti.
Lord.
Señor.
Open our eyes.
Ábrenos ojos.
Open our eyes.
Ábrenos los ojos.
Let us see the reality of your gospel.
Déjanos saber la realidad de tu evangelio.
When we don't know what to do,
cuando no sabemos qué hacer,
we are surrendering to you.
Nos entregamos a ti, Señor.
You are God.
Tú eres Dios.
You have a plan.
Tú tienes un plan.
And we don't want to deal with the plan.
Y nosotros no queremos tener ese plan, ¿sabes?
We want to deal with you.
Queremos tratar contigo.
Now we don't want a map.
Ya no queremos un mapa.
We want your presence.
Queremos tu presencia.
We don't want a map.
No queremos un mapa.
We don't want every step.
No queremos saber qué paso.
We want your presence.
Queremos tu presencia.
We want you.
Queremos a ti.
We are going to keep taking steps in faith.
Vamos a seguir tomando pasos
en
fe.
Knowing that you are with us.
Sabiendo que tú estás con nosotros.
We want you.
Te queremos.
I'm praying all this in Jesus' name.
Oro todo esto en el nombre de Jesús.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's worship together.
Vamos a alabar juntos.